Thank you for that. Appreciate it. All right. Good to see everybody here tonight. Good attendance on Sunday night. Appreciate you coming out and being in the Lord's house here at Liberty Baptist Church tonight. We're going to go ahead and get into our message tonight. We're going to the book of Ruth tonight. The book of Ruth, back there with Joshua and Judges, and then Ruth in the days of the Judges, by the way. So this is before the kings and Samuel, Kings, and Chronicles, and also before that in your Bible as well. And we want to look at this story tonight. The book is Ruth. It's about Ruth. But we'll kind of look at the story tonight, but I want to talk about, probably try to focus mostly on Naomi, talking about Christians in the wrong place. Now, yeah, thank you. Talking about Christians, can y'all hear me now? Amen. Christians in the wrong place. Now, you say, well, are you blaming Naomi for it? Because her husband's the one that said, you know, leave. Well, no, I'm not. But she was the only one that survived out of her family of four and got back to Bethlehem. So, and she says something interesting when she gets back. So we'll kind of get into the story. But we're talking about when Naomi turned bitter. Now, let's look here at chapter 1. We'll go down to the end of the chapter, verse 19. After 10 years, she comes back to Bethlehem after her husband and her sons have died. She had to leave one daughter-in-law. She brought one daughter-in-law back with her, which is Ruth. In verse 19, so they too went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them, and they said, is this Naomi? And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab. And they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. That last phrase right there, they came back at the beginning of barley harvest, is really kind of a uplifting phrase to say, hey, there's something on the horizon, and life's going to get better. Amen? Aren't you glad about that? The Lord can do that. Because that was key to what happens in the rest of the story. God had a plan. She said, call me bitter. Call me Mara, which means bitter. Don't call me Naomi anymore. That means pleasant. Call me Mara. My life is bitter. But I like that phrase right there about the beginning of the barley harvest, because, again, that sort of was a key into life turning around and getting better. I'm glad God can do that. Amen? You can see a better day. So when Naomi turned bitter, let's pray. Father God, direct us tonight in this. And I pray, Lord, you'd give us some things tonight that will help us. Lord, help me to say the right things in the right manner. But Lord, I ask you to speak to the hearts tonight. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We recently looked at Abraham whenever he fled Canaan land and went down to Egypt because of a famine. Same thing happened here in this story. Elimelech and Naomi took their two boys and they fled Bethlehem, which, by the way, means the house of bread, because there was a famine in Bethlehem, the house of bread. It was a test of their faith, just like it was for Abraham, but Abraham fled and didn't trust God. They fled and didn't trust God. He thought he could go find work and provide for his family, but while he was there, he, the husband, died. Their two sons found Moabite women and got married, but they soon died as well. Well, I say soon, it's about 10 years went by. And for whatever reason, it doesn't seem that they had any children. And after 10 years goes by, and she has been, three of the family of four has now died. And she has to say goodbye to her daughter-in-laws until one daughter-in-law says, no, I'm going back with you. And she was loyal. Ruth was loyal. And it was key to what happens, and I'll highlight some of that here in a little bit about how all that came about. But I want to focus on Naomi, the wife, who went out with her husband and her two boys looking for bread, leaving the house of bread to go look for bread, trying to escape death, but they found death. And she is, again, the one survivor of this family of four. And she comes back and says, "My life is bitter." Can you imagine that? There's a lot of emotion in this story, isn't it? She comes back bereaved and widowed, and talking about how God is against her because, I guess she's implying we didn't trust God and we left, and you know I'm under the chastening hand of God, and she comes back under those circumstances. You know the Bible tells us, and we know, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Romans 8:28. Sometimes we can just say the phrase, the reference, Romans 8:28, and you know what we're talking about if you've been in your Bible and been in church very long. It is a great promise in the Bible that God can take all things, the good things and the bad things, even in spite of the bad things, and God can bring good out of it. That gives us hope, and that inspires our faith to know that whatever's going on in our life, God has a plan and a purpose in it. Amen? And God can say, hey, because of that, you can and you will see a better day than the one you're dealing with right now. Because you may have heartaches and trial and trouble and challenges and problems and issues right now, but you can get beyond that and out of the valley. Amen? And the Lord can work these things out. It tries our faith, but we know that it's the truth. Because a lot of things happen in our life that we just don't get. She didn't know the future when they left. She didn't know how it was going to turn bad like that. And when she came back, she didn't know what was going to happen or how good or bad it might be. But God had a plan. And all things did work out for good, even more so than she could have ever imagined. So I'm glad God knows the future. And as we preach this morning, we just got to follow Him. He knows what's going to happen. He knows what's already there. He's always at work. He promises to always be at work in our life in ways that you and I cannot know or cannot see right now. We're not traveling by sight, but by faith. So Naomi returns, her husband and two sons buried in the land of Moab. She returns to Bethlehem, and they say, "Is this not Naomi?" She said, "Don't call me that. That name means pleasant. Life's not pleasant anymore. Call me Mara, bitter." She turned bitter, or her life turned bitter. I'll say that. Her life turned bitter. Let me give you a few points tonight, and we'll try to follow through the story. Number one, I want to say this to you tonight. Number one is she followed her leader. She followed her leader. That being her husband. You know, back in those days, women were much more dependent upon their husband. And to be a widowed lady was a terrible thing because the jobs were for the men. The man was the provider, right? Today we see it even go the other direction. A lot of times the men are the keeping house and the ladies are doing the working. I don't recommend that, but I'm just saying the times have changed, right? In a lot of ways. Or you have two incomes in the house and all of those kind of things. But in those days, it definitely was the husband that was the provider. So she followed her husband to leave and go find work elsewhere away from this famine was his idea. He led his family and she followed. Now, I wonder perhaps, by being the wife, did she give her opinion on the matter? Well, we all know she did. Amen, right? Y'all out there tonight? Y'all with me? Of course she gave her opinion. Now, did she agree with it? Maybe. I don't know. Did she say that's a good idea? Did she say I don't really want to do that? I don't know what happened, but you know, the truth of the matter was, no matter what her opinion was, she didn't have any choice in the matter. She really had to go with him. She had to follow him. She followed her leader, which was her husband, and he's the one that said, we need to get out of town and go somewhere else. So she was totally dependent on him as the leader. Now, decisions in life, as we preached this morning, can be very hard. Now, the Bible says, if you go back to the early part of chapter 1, Go back to the early, verse 1 of chapter 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled. There was no king, remember that? It was the days of the judges. It was days of chaos. It was hard days. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. There was no government leadership. Can you imagine? Have you ever lived your life when there was almost zero government leadership? Amen, right? So anyhow, let's not go there. But they had no government leadership. They had no president. They had nobody really. They had no government programs, that's for sure. So Elimelech was worried. So it says it was the days of the judges. Let me get back to verse 1. The days of the judges ruled that a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, and his wife and his sons. The name of the man was Elimelech. The name of his wife was Naomi. And the name of the sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left, and her two sons. But then the Bible goes on to say, they died also. So that's what happens. But it was his idea to go. I'm saying decisions in life are hard. You're trying to leave the famine to avoid death, and he ends up dying for whatever reason. We're not told all those details. The sons end up dying. We're not told all those details as well, but life did not go good. So as far as Elimelech is concerned, this famine is scary. This famine is serious. It's severe. I've got a family to feed. I need to go where work is. I need to go where we can find bread. I need to go where we can put food on the table and get some type of an income. Life and life's decisions are sometimes hard. It's not always easy. And they went to Moab, which is interesting. I think going to Moab shows the desperation, because honestly, in the days of the judges, Moab, the Moabites, were among the ones who actually at some point oppressed Israel. God used those other nations to oppress Israel. And there was racial tension, there was issues, there was problems with the Moabites. But yet that's where he goes, and that's where he settles, and they're not the Jewish people. Ruth was a Moabite. It's an amazing story how she got into the line of God, which is a picture of us getting into the family of God too. Amen? Being sinners and outsiders for sure. So it shows the desperation. But Naomi followed along, hoping for the best. Now, should Elimelech have stayed? Should he have stayed home and just trusted God with the famine? Well, she implied, she thought so. Because she said, the hand of the Almighty is against me. The affliction of the Almighty is against me. And I'm the only one returning. I've lost my family. So, you go on that, you would have to say Elimelech should have stayed put, and trusted God with the famine. I don't know, did God punish him? Was there chastening? Was there something going on there? We don't really know that part of the story, but she implied that she was under the hand of God, the chastening hand of God. Now, if that's true, and very well it could be true, there's still mercy in the story. Because even with that being the case, now again, she had to follow. She didn't have a lot of choice. There's still mercy in the story for her future. And she did see a better day. It did get better. But at this point right here, life has turned bitter for Naomi. And it is a hard day. It is a hard time. Now, men, you got to lead your family. You got to provide for your family. You got to pray for your family, right? You got to try to make decisions for your family. And nobody ever said it was easy. And that's why Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 that we preached on this morning is in the Bible. We need the guidance and the direction and the help of the Lord. Amen? It's not easy, but she followed her leader, good or bad, right or wrong. That's what she had to do. And sometimes you're following situations that you feel like you have no choice in. You're following situations that you're not able to make a decision. It's against you, and it's just like out of your control. Now, thankfully, everything is in God's control, but at the moment, it might feel like you're just doing all you know to do, all you can do, and you don't know how it's going to turn out in it. Sometimes may not turn out very pleasant, which is what Naomi meant, pleasant. it may end up looking very bitter. But she just followed her leader. That's all she could do. And that's exactly what she was doing. Number two. Our second observation, number two, is she suffered great loss. The story gets better, but it's pretty grim to start with, right? She suffered great loss. Death. The bereavement and widowhood, the loss of her husband, the loss of her companion, the loss of her income, the loss of her two sons, and she's away from home. It's not a good story. It's not a happy life. It's not a happy time. It got worse. I mean, her husband dying, folks, that's bad. But then losing both of her sons. Now, thankfully, they'd gotten married, so she had her daughter-in-laws. She refers to them as her daughters. And you understand that. You know how that is. But life has become extremely bitter for Naomi. Can y'all imagine that? Wouldn't you imagine? I mean, life is hard. What do I do? How did it end up like this? How did it turn out like this? We hear sad stories all the time. We hear tragic stories all the time. And, well, here's one right here you got in your Bible about a family and about this lady. And I wonder, is she mad at God? You ever get mad at God? God, you let the famine come back there in Bethlehem. You allowed the famine. You put us in this situation. My husband had to make some kind of decision. We had to do something. And apparently you didn't like what we did. Some people get bitter with God. Now, I'm not saying she did, but she could have. I wonder if she got mad at her husband for leaving and for leaving Bethlehem and then leaving her. You say that doesn't make sense. Hey, grief does that. A lot of people have been mad at their spouse for dying and leaving them, right? Y'all agree with that? You've seen that before? She might be very angry with her husband as well as God. She might even be mad at her sons. Y'all too? She has nothing. She has no one except her two daughters-in-laws, and they need husbands too. So life has... She suffered great loss in her life. And now she faces the possible loss of her two daughters, her daughters-in-laws. Because she tells them there in chapter 1, look, I hear that the famine is over back home. I have some kinfolk there. I at least know some people there. I have some family there. Y'all stay here. Y'all get married again. That's the hope for your future. I need to get back. And they're like, no, we love you. You're our mother-in-law. We don't want to leave you. And she gives them that story about what are y'all going to do? Y'all going to wait for me to get married and me have more children and then let them grow up? You know, all that stuff. Not going to happen. Y'all stay here and rest in your husband. She's talking about their future husbands that they could still marry, and she's got to say goodbye. And Orpah, one of them, says goodbye. Ruth says some great things. Ruth shows her loyalty, you remember that. And she says, thy people will be my people, thy God will be my God. That was the turning point right there, chapter 1, verse 16. She says, thy God will be my God. You know what she just did right there, folks? She just converted. Amen? She just accepted the God of the Bible, the God of the Jews. She converted right there and said, I'm going with you. Where you die, I'll die. Your people will be my people. Your God, that was the main part, your God will be my God. You know, you made that decision one day too. When you said, I'm going to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior, and my family may not like it, my friends may not like it, and people may abandon me over it, but I'm going to make this commitment. Y'all did that if you got saved. Amen? You said, I'm giving my heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm trusting Him to be my Savior, to forgive me of my sins, and I'm following the Lord. Not everybody's going to like it, but I'm doing it. And boy, that was a turning point in her life. But so she did have to say goodbye to one of her daughters-in-law. You know, life's hard. You know, life's hard on life's hard except for Christians, right? Y'all with me there? No, life's hard on everybody, including the people of God. We're not exempt. The The Lord's given us a lot of promises in the Bible, hasn't He? You know, in Mark 10, Jesus promised to meet all the needs of the disciples that were following Him. He said, I'll meet all your needs in this life and in the next. Amen. And there in Mark 10:30, in the midst of that, it always amazes me when I read it. Boy, this sounds good. The Lord's going to bless. The Lord's going to bless. The Lord's going to provide houses and lands and all that. And then all of a sudden, right in the middle of it, He says, with persecutions. The disciples might say, oh, back up, Lord. All that sounded pretty good. What do you mean, with persecutions? The Lord said, well, I never said this life on this earth was going to be easy. And matter of fact, while I'm making you promises, let me go ahead and make you a promise. It's not going to be easy. The life of faith and the journey of faith on this earth, fighting the devil, and it's not easy. You know what I mean? The Bible, the Lord doesn't lie to us. He tells us the truth, right? He said, I'm going to provide. I'm going to take care of you, but it's going to be with persecutions. It's going to be with problems. It's going to be with trials. Well, she's learning the same thing. By the way, that's the reason for Romans 8:28. All things work together for good. Amen. If you love God and you're living according to His purpose, it's going to be with persecutions. There's going to be great loss. There's going to be heartache. There's going to be suffering. There's going to be things we don't understand. But there's God, too, right? There's always God. Amen. So here she is. She followed her leader. That's all she could do. That's not what she's supposed to do, and that's what she did. Life turned very bitter. She suffered great losses in her life. And she learned, like I often tell you, we're not in heaven yet. And why doesn't God take care of this? Why doesn't God fix this? Why do I have this trouble? Why do I have to fight the devil? Why do I have to fight my old sinful nature? Why do I have to deal with temptations, trials, and troubles? Isn't the Christian life supposed to be perfect? Yeah, when you get to heaven, not there yet. Newsflash, not there yet. Amen? We're down here where the battles take place. We're down here where the hardship takes place. We're down here where we live by faith, not by sight. There's going to be some troubles and trials. Hey, does that mean God doesn't love me? That doesn't mean that at all. God's preparing a place for you in heaven. God's going to take care of you down here, but He's going to use all your trials and troubles and hardships to build your faith up and make you stronger in Him and to show you that He's there and He loves you. But I want to tell you, the problem in this world is not God. The problem in this world is sin and the devil. Blame the right enemy. Amen? Don't blame God. Don't get bitter with God. It's us and our sin nature and our own bad decisions that we make and our sin and the sins of the world all around us. But we know we're headed to heaven. Amen? But in the meantime, we're going to have to deal with persecutions. A lot of other promises, let's not forget that, okay? Amen, right? Y'all got other promises too, right? He'll supply your need, He'll take care of you, and He'll help you, amen? So we see here, she followed her leader, amen? She had to do that. She suffered great loss. She returns very, very, life is very, very bitter. But let me say this, number three, she found renewed hope. She found renewed hope. Very end of chapter 1 there, the beginning of barley harvest. You say, what in the world's that got to do with it? I'll get to that in a moment. Right here, Ruth became her hope. The only person who came back with her. She's already told them, I'm too old. Anybody ever said that before? She told them that in chapter 1. She told those girls, I'm too old. What does that mean? That means that she's got a young girl with her. Her daughter-in-law, Ruth. That's her only hope of anything. Right? I mean, she didn't have that. If Ruth hadn't stayed with her, she was pretty desolate. Right? And when you have to say, I'm too old, is that a sad thing to have to say? I used to could. Boy, you should have seen me back in the day. Amen. Right? Everybody, people like to say that. You know, you see these, okay, I get that, amen. He's only 90, he doesn't know yet, amen, right? You ever see these World War I veterans, these old soldiers, you know, and I'll tell you what, you see an old, feeble man. But back in his 20s, I wouldn't want him to get on his bad side, amen, right? Isn't that the truth? Y'all believe in that? These old soldiers, and you know, they're past their prime, but I wouldn't want to mess with them in their prime. Amen. That just means, well, we're not what we used to be. We're not what we used to could do. her only hope is this young daughter-in-law that came with her. Ruth's from Moab, but she's a convert. She's from Moab, but she is now a believer in the right God. She's from a land of sin and heathenism and idolatry, but she has now put her faith in the right God, the true God, the one God, the living God. Amen? So she's got a Christian daughter-in-law with her. That's where her hope is right there. She's loyal to her. She says, your home and your God is mine. You know, by the way, whenever the other daughter-in-law said, okay, I'm staying in Moab. But Ruth said, I'm going with you. You know what that is, folks? Yeah, there's a picture right there of the choice that everybody makes. Orpah basically is one who said, I'm not going to accept your God. I'm going to stay out here in the world. Ruth is a picture who one who said, I'm going to leave the world and I'm going with God. She made the choice to get saved right there. Amen. Everybody makes that choice. Do you know that the Lord Jesus Christ is your personal Savior because you deliberately one day made the choice to receive Christ by faith to be your Savior? Well, a lot of people have said no to God and stayed out there in the world. Stayed out there and clung to what their other gods and whatever else. But if you're saved today, amen, you made a conscious, deliberate decision to say, Lord, forgive me my sin. I'm a sinner. I don't have anything to offer you. But I know you love me and you died on the cross for me and you want to be my Savior. And I say yes to Jesus. Amen. That's what Ruth did right there. She's a picture of that. But she was Naomi's hope because she's young. And because she's young, she can get married again. In that economy, that's very important. In that day, that was very important. You're young, you can get married again. That was the hope that they had. And Naomi had a plan. God had a plan. Naomi had a plan. She became matchmaker. Anybody ever been matchmaker before? You ever done that? Turn out good? You tell that story later, amen? But there's more to the story. Not only is she young, she's the hope because she's young and she can marry again, but they're going back to Bethlehem and Naomi has kinfolk there. You ever heard what we call in the Bible the kinsman redeemer? You know what that was in the Bible? Somebody dies, his brother would then marry the widow that his brother left, his sister-in-law. Y'all there? He would redeem her, raise up children through her, protect the family heritage, provide for her. It was a kinsman, kinfolk, relative redeemer. You know what it is, folks? It's a picture of Jesus. He's our redeemer. He's the Son of God who makes us sons of God. Amen, right? Yeah, I know y'all don't like that plan, so I can tell you don't like that plan. I understand that totally, but let's get past the plan. Amen. It's about our Redeemer in Christ. Amen. But that's how it worked. And she knew, I've got family, and this girl can marry a kinsman Redeemer, and we'll have provision again and all of that stuff. Okay? That was her hope. Again, it's a picture of Jesus being our Redeemer and our Savior. Now, I said this, point three, I said she found renewed hope. Can I say this right now? At this point, her bitterness was taken away. Can I say this right now? At this point, nobody that I see ever referred to her as Mara. Why? Because God took the bitterness away. You got to know that there's just four chapters. We've only been in one so far, right? God took, call me Mara. Nobody ever called her Mara. She's referred to as Naomi from here on. Why? Because God had a plan to redeem her. Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about Christians who get in the wrong place. But what have we said every time? You can get out of the wrong place and get back into the right place, and Naomi did that. Naomi was kind of pushed into the wrong place. But she made a conscious choice. By the way, 10 years goes by before she goes back. But when she goes back to Bethlehem, she's going back to the right place. And God blesses that decision. See, she had a decision again. I had to leave Bethlehem and go to Moab, but now that I'm in Moab, do I stay? Do I stay? No, I think I got kinfolk, I got family, I got something there in Bethlehem, and I hear the famine's over, I'm going back to Bethlehem. She made a conscious choice and decision to do that. It was the right one. Amen? And God blessed her for getting back to the right place. Hey, folks, listen. You say, how do I get back into the will of God? I'm on the wrong path of straightaway. How did I get back? Then go back to where you got off and get back in again. Amen? You just go back to the foot of the cross and say, Lord, forgive me. I got to get back to you. Amen? You ever done that? You just get back to the foot of the cross. Amen? You get back to the right place. The bitterness was taken away. Now, let's look. Let me just look at this real quick right here. Okay, so we said the beginning of barley harvest, right? You get into chapter 2, she meets a man, she goes to glean. You know what the gleaning is? You're allowed to go through as a poor person and kind of get the sweet potatoes that are left, right? Or the wheat, whatever. Y'all with me on that? You get what's left, and it was a welfare program. So she goes and does that. And she just so happens to go to the field of a man by the name of Boaz. Boaz likes what he sees in Ruth. He said, I've heard great things about you. I've heard about how you've taken care of your mother-in-law. I hear about how loyal you are. I mean, he liked her. He liked everything about her. She said in chapter 2, verse 10, then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes? Thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger. Moabite. Hey, folks, put yourself in that verse. You're before God. And you say, why have I found grace in your sight, seeing I am a sinner? Amen, right? That's the spiritual picture of that right there. So Boaz has mercy on her. Look at verse 12. Boaz said, the Lord recompense thy work and a full reward. You see those two words, recompense and reward? That sounds good. Be given to thee of the Lord of Israel. The Lord of who? Israel. That's who she's accepted. Under whose wings thou art come to what? Trust. She's a believer. He knows she trusts God. He said, the God of Israel, under whose wings, hey, listen now, listen to this, recompense, reward, under the wings of God. This is sounding a lot better than what she's been dealing with. This is sounding pretty promising, amen? Now, this is Ruth, but guess what Ruth does? She goes home. And Naomi says, where did you glean today? I'm paraphrasing now, all right? Where did you glean today? Well, I just happened to be at the field of a very nice man whose name was Boaz. Isn't that a wonderful name? That's probably the guy you want to marry right there if he's named Boaz. Amen? Isn't that a good name? I went to the field of a very nice man named Boaz. And Naomi's like, interesting. Well, you know, he just happens to be one of our kinsmen. He could marry you, girl. Did you know that? You better be really nice to him. And it told us this, he's got a lot of fields. He's one of them rich farmers is what he is. Amen? That's what he is right there. He's a wealthy man, and he's kin. You just stay right there. Don't you go nowhere else. You stay right there with that field. And then she gave her, getting to chapter 3, she gave her a plan. And she basically said, I want you to go to the threshing floor tonight, and I want you to approach him, and not getting all into all of it, but I want you to approach him. And he has a conversation with her, and she says, my mother-in-law is kind of letting me know that you could be one of them kinsman redeemer type guys. And he's like, you know what? You're right about that. He calls her. He says, you're a very virtuous woman. He loads her down with some barley and says, you know, go back home, and gives her plenty. He's providing for her already. Amen? I notice if you look in chapter 3, verse 11. Chapter 3, verse 11. And now, my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee that thou request. You know, I circled I will. You know what? She proposed and he just said, I will, right there. Amen? That's sort of what it looks like. Amen, right? And then you get on down, he said in verse 12, and now it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there's a kinsman nearer than I. We got a problem. Hey, you're right, I'm one. But guess what? I'm not the next one in line. There's somebody else is. Ah, figure. It's always going to be something, right? Always going to be a problem of some sort. My goodness. So he says in verse 13, tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto thee the part of the kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of the kinsman to thee, then will I do the part. So now circle the words I do. He's done said I will and I do. He's getting married. Amen? But you know what else, though? You notice what he said? You're right. I am, but I'm not the closest of kin. This is what he said. He said, but there is one ahead of me, a little closer in the kinship. I'm second cousin, he's first cousin, whatever the deal is, right? He said, and if he'll do it, okay. Now listen, if he'll do it, okay. He doesn't want him to do it, but if he does, he'll... You know what he did right there, folks? He put the whole thing into the hand of God. He took his hands off. Have you ever had to just take your hands off and say, the will of the Lord be done? He said, if he does it, okay. Love at first sight, I know I'll be heartbroken, but anyway, if he does it, we'll just trust the Lord. But if he doesn't, I will. But he's going to... So he goes and talks to that man. He said, I'm doing that tomorrow. All right, go down to you're in chapter 3. He gives her a bunch of six measures of barley. He said, now look, verse 17. And she said, tells Naomi, these six measures of barley gave he me, for he said to me, go not empty to thy mother-in-law. Hey, now listen. Back in chapter 1, verse 21, Naomi said, I went out full, I came back empty. Right here, Boaz says, go back to your mother-in-law, but don't go empty. Things are looking up. Amen? Things are getting better. And then what does Naomi say in verse 18? Then said she, sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. Boy, isn't that hard? Just wait and see how it turns out. But look at this. For the man will not be in rest until he has finished the thing this day. She said, you just sit down and wait. I guarantee you he ain't going to wait 6 months to take care of this matter. He's going today to take care of this matter. And he did. And he goes and he talks to the man and he gets a bunch of witnesses around and he says, tells him the whole situation. Here's, you know, Ruth, the Moabitess, and, you know, our kin folk, her husband died, and you need to buy the farm. And he says, okay, I will. That sounds great. Oh, man. He said, but you got to marry the Moabitess Ruth, too. And the fellow says, I can't do it. I'm not sure why, but he says, I can't. At that point, he says, I can't. And Boaz is like, well, if you can't, you can't. You all heard that, right? I'm marrying her. Amen? Well, let's don't discuss the matter any further. Amen. I tell you what, things sure turned around. She just sort of happened to end up in the right field, at the right place, at the right time, in the hand of the mighty plan of God. Amen. Nobody ever called Naomi Mara. Her bitterness was taken away because God had mercy and God had a plan. Someone has said this, most worthwhile things done in life are done by people who kept on trying when it seemed all hope was lost. See, Naomi and Ruth were determined within the will of God. Boaz was determined within the will of God. And they went forward with the plan, and God blessed the whole plan. Amen. Folks, this right here, when people keep trying, when all hope seems lost, you know, that's especially true when there's faith in God. Amen. With God, all things are possible. Amen? Now, let me just jump over here real quick. Chapter 4, look at verse 13. Chapter 4, verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. 4:13. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception. She bare a son. Look at verse 14. And the woman said unto Naomi, the women said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel, and he shall be unto thee a, what does that say? A restorer of thy life and a nourisher in thine old age. I came back empty. And now all the, call me Mara. And the women are like, we're not calling you Mara, you're Naomi. Look at, boy, look how things turned out for you. And we've all had our eye on wealthy Boaz. And look at this. I declare, I don't know how this happened, but now you bring Ruth back and she's married and he's going to take care of you the rest of your life. They didn't call her Mara, they called her Naomi. Why? God took the bitterness away. She saw a better day. Do you hope you'll see a better day than maybe the one you're in right now? Are you in a trial? Are you in a valley? Are you hoping for a better day? Trust God with it. He can bring a better day. Amen. God took the bitterness away. By the way, you know the next few verses. You know what the next few verses tell us? She became the great grandmother to the great King David. This is in the days of the judges. Her great-grandson would become the great King David. And she got into the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah of Israel and the Savior of the world. A Moabite. Not among the people of God, but she's now grafted into the people of God. And she's in the line, in the lineage of the Lord. Is life hard? Can God help? Is life hard? Yes. Can God help? You got faith? Are you saying right now, call me Mara? Life is bitter in so many ways. You know what this story says? God can get involved in your circumstances and God can help you see a better day. Amen. Well, folks, we got to have trust in that. You say, oh yeah, I know when I finally get to heaven. He said, they said here, he's going to be a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thy old age. She didn't have to wait until she got to heaven. Amen, right? God was good to her in this life. I can't promise how things are going to turn out, but I just know that God is involved working in the lives of his people. And he put stories in the Bible like this to remind us that if we'll put our faith in him and trust him, he can do things, great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. Right? You say, how's it going to turn out? I don't know. You leave that in God's hands. That's what Boaz said. Boaz said, if the other guy doesn't find the will of God, I'll trust that. And the Lord brought it together. Amen? And the Lord made the right thing happen. God always makes the right thing happen. Amen? When Naomi turned bitter, life gets bitter. Life gets difficult. Life gets hard. Life gets harsh. But her story is kind of like the story of Joseph. She saw a better day by faith in the God that can do all things. Right? What he's done for others. Choir's been singing that opening on Sunday morning, right? What he's done for others, he can do for you. Amen? You believe that? Trust God. Trust the Lord. She got in the wrong place. Thank God she got back to the right place. A restored place. Her life restored. And nobody's calling her bitter because life got better. There's a better title for my message right there. Amen. It's not bitter, it's better, right? Life got bitter, but life got better. Get that principle. Amen. Life's bitter. It can get better with God. Now let me say this and I'll close. Do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? Are you in the family? Have you made the choice that Ruth made to say, your God will be my God? I'm trusting Jesus who died on the cross to be my Savior. And I want to be in the family of God. Have you made that choice? Because that's where it all starts. Amen? A home in heaven, but his help on this earth too. Do you know him as your Savior? Ruth got into the line. She got into the family of God. I'm glad I'm saved tonight. I trust that you're saved tonight. If you're not, you can be. Amen? If you are saved, life's bitter. Trust God and ask Him to help you see it get better. Amen? Let's bow our heads tonight, please. Father, we thank You so much, Lord, for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, so much for Your providence. We thank You, Lord, so much for Your power, Lord, to work in our circumstances, Lord. And, Lord, I pray You help tonight, whatever the needs are, whatever somebody needs tonight, God, that You would speak to them. You would encourage their heart, Lord. If there's one here that needs salvation, I pray, Lord, they'd come tonight and give You their heart and life and salvation, Lord. And, God, if there's another issue or problem that just needs to be laid on the altar and put at the feet of Jesus, I pray, Lord, we'll do that tonight as well. And I ask it in Jesus' name this evening. Let's stand. Our heads are bowed. The music plays. You might need to come tonight. Come down here and get on this altar. Talk to the Lord about it. Talk to the preacher. I want to help you. Amen. Church, and is God speaking to your heart? Is God tugging on your soul? Is God saying, come to me and give it to me? And is the Lord saying, go forward, get on the altar. I'll meet you there. Obey His voice. Obey His voice tonight. And the Lord can take the bitterness. The Lord can help us see things eventually in time, and His plan and will get better. It happened for Naomi. A bitter life did get better with the help of the Lord. How about you tonight? Do you need to come give your heart and life to the Lord? Give your trouble and your trial to the Lord, whatever it might be. Would you come tonight? To the Lord. No need to wait or hesitate. Give it to Jesus. Take a step of faith. Get on that journey. Begin that journey with the Lord. Amen. Amen. You can